What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another episode of What the Fuck. I'm Josh Hadley. We're coming up on our 100th episode, and I have not missed one yet. And my co-host is...
Me!
Me who? It's Jillian, if you can't tell. She's kind of amped up. I don't know if she's on Red Bull tonight or not.
That whole, I haven't missed an episode, is that a stab at me? Because I am...
Of course it's not a stab at you. I'm just...
I think so. I think you were gloating.
Hey,
so like,
you didn't
oh,
join... Hey, you did not join the show until episode 17. So
there's
going
to be a day where you have like laryngitis and you're not going to be able to talk. And so you'll be texting. Cause we've talked about this before and you're going to end up texting your thoughts. And I'm just totally going to warp them into what you're not saying.
Oh, no. I would use one of those Stephen Hawking voice programs.
The little speak and say. They yeah. have those on the computer. You actually could.
Yeah, I would pull one of those if I had to.
You'd have to call everybody Wesley. So you'd sound like Mr. Butlertron on Clone High. Oh, he's a little robotic butler, and he calls everybody Wesley. Don't know why.
You are obsessed with that show.
I am. It's a fantastical show.
All right, well, let's get off of Jillian's fantastical show and go into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Tonight's dumbest thing you've probably seen going around Facebook and whatnot, and it's really getting headlines. And it was chosen for dumbest thing not because of the headline, but because of the fact... that this shouldn't just be happening in 2013. Prom season, so figure why not go with it. Wilcox County has finally had their first integrated prom. After 60 years, the whole Brown versus Board of Education, they still never had an integrated prom. This year, they finally had one. Kudos to them. At the same time, really sad state that it's taken this long to happen.
It's Georgia. What do you want?
Hey, all right. But the interesting thing behind it, a lot of people just read headlines and they're like, oh, wow, that's great. If you haven't seen the video or you haven't read the article, here's a little bit behind it. This is what makes it so great and kind of sad at the same time is this prom was funded and driven by the students. This wasn't something that the school board says, you know, it's done time we do this. And I'm not making fun of Georgians or whatever you guys like Georgites or whatever. It's more so the people in the school board that have purposefully stayed out of this for decades because they didn't want to be the voice of segregated, non-segregated. Apparently, in the past, the prom has been funded by the parents, venue invitations, and the reason it was segregated, and it looks like from the video that it was a relatively small amount of white students that were in favor of the integration. There was still a segregated prom funded by white parents and attended only by white students, as well as this integrated prom. So, you know, this isn't a huge happy story where, yay, they're finally with the times. It's more a happy story of, you know, these kids took initiative and was like, this isn't right. It was started by a group of friends, two black girls, two white girls, and they created a Facebook page to ask for funding and donations so they could have an integrated prom. So the students ended up, you know, coming together, doing this, making it happen. And then you still have the people who are bigoted fuck nuts and they had their segregated prom anyways. So
bigoted
good for you guys.
Nuts, is that what they're called?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever used that term before. It was just some kind of derogatory.
Okay.
It doesn't fit sticks up their asses because it's not like they're meh, meh, meh. They were more... We're going to do it anyway. We don't
Bid Buffy. Oh, no, Buffy,
yeah.
Buffy.
So hopefully this keeps up. And, you know, from everything, the parents that had to do with the integrated prom are really happy about it, both white and black. And it's just really sad because you still had this large portion of parents and students who were not in favor of it.
I think the thing that saddens me the most about hearing this, not that it finally took place, but, you know, hey, good that it finally took place.
That's the fact we're saying good it finally took place.
That and the fact that they had to basically be subversive to do it, that this was still not school sanctioned. It still was not officially sanctioned. It was basically, oh, you won't let us have an integrated prom? So, well, then too bad. We'll go off and we'll make our own. The black students and the white students had to get together on their own to make their prom. The school board still did not endorse it. The parental groups, the PTA, still did not endorse it. That is a sad state. And then the fact that they, the parents and the school, would still go, well, we're still going to have our segregated prom.
Yep.
Just the white students are going to have theirs. That's a sad state. So this is not the victory that it should have been. This should have been a victory for integration. It's not. It's only a small...
It's a small victory.
It's a small victory, but it's not the victory that they should have had. And like you pointed out, this is 2013. We shouldn't still be dealing with white-only prom. We shouldn't be dealing with white-only or black-only events in general.
I kind of wonder what, you know, the way the article and the video describes it is, as I said before, in the past, it was, you know, parental funded between venue. And I mean, you know, proms are expensive, especially you go into renting DJs and the places, the decorations, dresses. So I have to think that this was just such a small amount of white parents and kids that were for this, that they had to get outside funding. Either that or, you know, the kids took it upon. Yeah, because it's like if you've got these white parents who were able to fund their segregated prom, and then you have this group of black and white parents and children who are wanting the integrated prom but had to go for outside funding, it really makes you believe that how big the differences of numbers between the parents and students that wanted the integrated prom were in comparison to the white parents and students who still wanted a segregated prom.
I'd like to see those numbers myself.
Right,
yeah.
Because, I mean, these kids had to go for outside funding. So you know that it wasn't a case of the parents for the integration were like, okay, yeah, we'll pay for this. There has to be something going on where the majority of funding came from these bigoted parents and households to where they still had their, you know, they still afforded their prom where they got to have it how they wanted and, you know, be buttholes. So that's a really sad state. It's a happy story in the aspect of right on, you guys got
it's a but it's a smaller victory than it should have been. Now we're going to move on to something that irritates me, and I actually think this issue is probably going to divide our listenership.
I think so too.
I really think we're going to have people coming down on both sides of this, and technically, I don't think either side will be wrong for doing so, even though some of their information might be wrong. Okay, Jillian, you know I live in Wisconsin. You're in Illinois, but I'm in Wisconsin. A Wisconsin Republican, of course it's a Republican, named Dean Kaufert has proposed and passed a new bill that would require food stamp recipients in Wisconsin to spend 2/3 of their food stamps on, quote, healthy foods. That they would not be able to buy so much potato chips or pizzas.
Even American cheese, like processed cheese.
Yes, they've even categorized processed cheese as being, quote, unhealthy food. The reason he's doing this, he wants to encourage healthy eating habits. He wants to encourage low-income people that are getting food stamps to eat healthier. What he is in fact doing is he is going to encourage fraud, and he is trying to force health on people who do not want it. You can't do that. You can encourage them. You can say, hey, we would like, maybe you'll get extra money on food stamps if you buy a lot of vegetables or meats or milks. You can't penalize people who don't want that. And besides, who makes the dividing line? Okay, so if I buy potatoes and vegetable oil, something that can be healthy, but if I buy potato chips, which are basically potatoes in vegetable oil, that's unhealthy? What the hell kind of a division is that?
Well, and you've got cases too, you know, like grilled cheese for kids. It's not necessarily healthy, but I mean, it is a meal.
It's not,
you know,
bad
I grew
for,
up on,
you know,
on grilled cheese, but you're not going to sit there and cut a block of cheddar. It's, you know, two American cheese slices. And I mean, here's the thing. It's like butter is used to prepare many meals. Anything in excess is unhealthy. So you can go ahead and say, oh, well, this is okay. But you can't control what people put on things. You can't control how much they eat. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the whole like food stamp, I mean, you can't use them everywhere. You can't go to McDonald's and be like, give me a Big Mac meal and then put it on your food stamps.
Oh, yeah.
So there is regulation on, you know, you can and cannot have. And if you're talking about things people need, as far as I know, everywhere that has food stamps programs, it's food only, like not toilet paper or like anything that you actually need. Toothpaste, I think, isn't covered by anything. So if you're talking about regulating things, it's like there already is a fact of regulation. And to completely cut down what people can do as food, I mean, do they really think people are sitting there and buying 30 bags of chips? Or, I mean, the most unhealthy thing for you is the fast food that you go out and get. You can't do that when you're on food stamps. So the amount of junk food that, you know, individuals would be or could be buying, it doesn't factor in. You know, nobody's buying 30 bags of potato chips and only eating potato chips.
No,
so the fact
not.
That they're putting restraints on what you can even buy, it's kind of, and I mean, this isn't even really an issue of, you know, well, our tax dollars are paying for this, but because I mean, they're not giving people less money, they're just regulating it. And I know a lot of people look down on individuals who need food stamps or assistance. And so we're not even going.
The operative word need. These are not okay, because this bill has been characterized, of course, on hardcore right wing websites as everyone that is on food stamps is some sort of leech on society, and they are sucking my tax money up, and they're buying all this soda, and they're buying watermelon, and they're buying potato chips.
Watermelon is completely healthy for you.
No, a lot of them are bitching. They're using the racism angle. All they're going to use this
are
on is watermelon and fried chicken.
Me?
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because
you can't even buy fried chicken unless they have it like in
statistically,
the Tyson's nuggets or whatever.
Statistically, there are more black people on food stamps than there are white people. That doesn't change the fact.
You know what? I love watermelon.
Are not
I will buy
leeches.
Whole seedless watermelons and eat it by myself in a matter of days. I go to KFC occasionally. It's like, really? Like, are you really going to define? Well, no, you can't say healthy foods only, but not watermelon. Like, that's, oh, God. Like,
Jillian, most people that are on food stamps are on it because they need to be.
Well, aren't there regulations, too? Like, you don't just, if someone works at, you know, a full-time job or whatever, and they're making, you know, like $2,000-$3,000 a month, they can't go and get on assistance. Like, there are
There's a line
financial,
you have to be
like,
under.
I mean, it's proof of income, right? So
yes,
basically,
there's a line you have to be under. And that line is surprisingly high, because I know people who don't make enough to adequately live on who still do not qualify for food stamps. And there are 40% of Wisconsinites, I can only speak for my state here, 40% of Wisconsinites are either on food stamps or have been within the last 10 years. Are all these people leeches on society who are just stealing from government programs? Like, the conservatives like to call Obama the food stamp president because food stamps went up, I think, 8% since Bush. Oh, that Obama's the food stamp president. And yes, I will not try and be so ignorant to say that there are not people who are leeches.
I'm sure
know
there's people that abuse it and will just
yes.
like use up their card or certificates or whatever at the end of the
I
month
know
because they haven't
sell
used
their
it all.
Food stamps.
Jesus.
There's a whole underground market. They tried to clamp down on this because food stamps used to be like paper money that had different denominations on it.
And like for WIC kind of thing?
Yes.
Where it was like, use this for milk, use this. I don't have kids. I have friends
and
that have kids that need assistance.
I was on WIC when my son was little. I was still in high school. I knocked my wife up before she was my wife when I was still in high school. She's older than me, so she was already out. We were on WIC. I'm not ashamed to admit that.
Gave her your baby juice.
Yes. But now it's like a credit card kind of thing, and it's all electronic. You can still sell food stamps. What most people do will be 25 cents on a dollar. I'll go buy you $200 worth of groceries, and you give me $50 cash.
See,
that's
why people are looking down so much. I mean, I've said this before. Like, I've
the losers.
Hold on. I've known people that ranted about the fact that, oh, well, it looks like a debit card now, so people get to hide it and it's not as demeaning or whatever. They weren't in that situation. And I really hate judgmental people that don't. I mean, like when you judge, you know, someone that is very overweight and they're at a grocery store or something, it's like, for all you know, they could have a huge thyroid problem. It's like, don't judge just based on appearances.
You're on the right track, because food stamps already have a stigma to them. just being on food stamps, you have this stigma of the majority of society will look at you as a leech or as some kind of bum that, like, oh, you don't want to work. You just
Any
want to stay on food
they
stamps.
Do. You know, it's like, oh, well, why are you out at a movie or why are you taking your kids to movie? It's like you can't expect if you're on assistance somebody to completely sit at home and just do that and pay for food. I mean, you do have to have some sort of quality of life. Now, if you're going to Disney World and you're on food stamps, yeah, there's probably something there unless, you know,
but
you're going with friends
going
and they pay for you.
But there's always going to be that one group that just wants to take advantage of a program and they want to abuse it. That's always going to be there.
And by one group, it's just we're lumping all of these people.
I'm lumping all the fraud.
It's a small amount.
I'm lumping anyone that commits fraud for the food stamp program, anyone that lies for it, anyone that abuses it.
They have a call number too, don't they? That's like basically if you find out about abuse or something. Like,
yes.
I've seen, like, I've never called it, but I know a friend that did back in the day. And like her friend was not her friend, but the girl's friend who was paying with the food stamps was basically talking about how she was scamming them. And then this, you know, girl that I was friends with at the time went ahead and called on him. And I think they actually kind of reward you or like something happens.
Yeah.
But it's like,
well,
if you're going to fucking scam anything. Oh, yeah. I mean, and that makes me mad, too. It's like if you don't need it and you are gloating about how you're scamming it, fuck you. There's people that really need it. And it's such a stigma and looked down upon. And I understand there's a lot of people that, you know, are like, well, our tax dollars pay for this. Honestly, if you are in the position where you need it, shit's gone down. Everybody has those low points. I've known people in my past that needed it and they are honest about it and are like, okay, I got a better job now. I don't need this anymore. And they'll cancel it instead of like, yeah, I get free food. And I just, and honest people nowadays, it's really hard to come by. And cool. I know a lot of listeners are probably like, you guys are full of shit. You know, anybody on food stamps is not working or not, you know, need. And I don't know. I guess if you haven't been in a position or haven't known people who are in that legitimate position of need, it's kind of like if you can't relate to it, you probably are going to look down on it. So,
but I also, like I said, I know a lot of people who might work two jobs and a family of three still cannot make the ends meet. They need that little bit of a boost. And society looks down on them for needing this boost. And I am sick of this. I'm sick of people that are on any kind of assistance being looked at as leeches. I'm sick of that. And Representative Jocasta Zampira, a Milwaukee Democrat, actually put this perfectly. She called this entire thing, this entire proposal, press release politics. This is all about getting them headlines. And she's afraid of what the same thing that you and I have been talking about. This is going to divide Wisconsinites. You're either going to be on the you are all leeches or you are trying to force health on us. And that's the other thing. We cannot ignore the fact that, like I brought up before, you
Well, it's
going to
cause more fraud.
Force- Yeah, well that
it's
and...
going to throw people into fraud because they're going to be like, well, crap, I only need this much. Well, hey, if, you know, you give me $50, here's, you know, this to buy your produce so I can buy soda. You know, it's going to be
exactly.
like a trade off
and
it's going to encourage fraud.
There's also another thing. I had to dig to find this. This wasn't listed in most of the articles that I found. I had to dig to find this to integrate a new program to all the computer systems, to all the places that accept food stamps, to the grocery stores, to the convenience stores, to any places that accept food stamps. It's going to cost them more money to integrate all this stuff. It's going to cost them millions of extra dollars to say that that is acceptable for food stamps.
American
that
cheese.
Is not.
Yeah.
This is not. This is. This is.
Well, then you've got to go with types of things. Like if you're talking bread, there's, you know, the healthy bread and then there's, you know, the bread that could essentially get lumped in with American cheese. You know, it's not necessarily
processed. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, here's the thing that you guys have to keep in mind, especially if you look down on people that have this program. They are not limiting how much these people get a month. They are simply limiting what items they can buy. So it's not like, oh, well, you know, you get less money, buy healthier food. So if you are taking the position of, well, no, this is going to help the whole tax dollars thing. It's not. It's only basically
it's only going to penalize
right.
It's only going to penalize the people who are on this. You are not going to make them eat healthier. All you're going to do is make them do another runaround to get their potato chips. If you want to encourage health, fine. Encourage health. Put out programs. Give out flyers. Whenever you give them their food stamps, hand out a little bit of a flyer that encourages, hey, do you realize you can make your food stamp budget stretch longer if you buy salads and buy this instead of the expensive potato chips? Give them alternatives. You cannot force them to eat healthy. And that is exactly what this is doing.
You've got certain bagged snacks that are healthier than, say, potato chips. American cheese. You can't basically have people live like rabbits just because they're on a program. It's like, if you're so concerned about people's health, it's like, look at all of the people that are buying McDonald's, things like that. And if you're going to argue, oh, well, they can, you know, spend whatever they want because they make the money. The issue of how much these people are receiving as benefits or assistance is not underway. That's not their issue, how much they're paying. It's basically they're going under the guise of, oh, well, we're encouraging them to eat more healthy. And it's like, really, you as human beings, this is wrong on the level. I mean, do you guys, I hope, who are against this program at all, I mean, I hope you guys are at least saying that. It's like the New York thing where, you know, they tried.
I was going to bring that up if you did.
Yeah,
yes.
No, you go ahead. You are better on that than I.
Mayor Bloomberg tried to legislate health. He used the same guise that I want you to not drink as much soda because it's not healthy, so I will penalize you for doing so.
It was like the trans fats too, like KFC.
The trans
like
fats,
that
was in the mid-2000s. In Minnesota, even in 2004, they wanted to try and discourage people from buying candy or soda, so they wanted higher tax rates on candy and soda, and that
but
was
we'll
denied.
We'll leave cigarettes and alcohol alone. You can't have your candy, but, you know. It's a quality of life thing. You know, a lot of people look down on the people that need assistance. We aren't even really tackling the issue of, oh, you're screwing over people that need assistance. It's more so trying to control any individual's life on these matters. It's like, okay, if you're concerned about their health, you know, you've got all of these people against health benefits for anything. You know, people who are on food stamps or, you know, assistance programs, most of those programs, you don't get health and dental. So if you are so concerned about people's health that you are going to regulate food, you know, they're never going to try and do the health programs thing. I mean, we've talked so many times about how they're against Obamacare, but you're going to sit there and say that, you know, you're concerned about the people who don't have enough money to afford food, how they're eating. And so that's what I'm upset about.
This also goes to back to the perception issue. Hey, did you see some of the comments on the article I sent you?
No. I just kind of went into the article and, you know, read it.
I'm quoting here. Leftist heads will explode over this. How dare we tell you how you can spend our tax-funded welfare? Sounds like a good idea to me. If you don't like it, then you should be on another incentive to get off of government assistance.
All right. With that, with keeping that in mind, so what if you work for a company and they say that they really promote good food and you can't spend the money that they pay you on certain things? Like if they say, oh, well, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, like you can't, you know, buy all, you know, and I mean, obviously you can't really track, but that is the same mentality if you're saying that.
But
I mean,
then companies like Walmart actually do not pay you a living wage, and Walmart in southern states will actually help you sign up. When you get a job at Walmart, they actually have a food stamp waiver there that, hey, we're not going to pay you enough, so we're going to help you get on food stamps so the government will supplement what we're not paying you. The companies will not pay you a living wage. And you know what? Before we end this segment, because we got to wind this down, right now Wisconsin is the only state that has passed this in a 7-2 party line vote so far. 8 other states are considering the same kind of restrictions on what you can purchase with food stamps. This pisses me off.
And again, it's encouraging good people who aren't abusing the system to start abusing the system. Because honestly, if you're going to make, because I don't even know what's on this list. I imagine if they're going into processed cheese, American cheese.
The list hasn't been solidified.
Right. No, I'm just saying, you know, I don't know what's going to be on this list, but if they're going as far to already saying American cheese, which that's pushing it. I mean, good God, you know, if you're going to buy a huge block of cheese, which technically, if you have like American cheese is like 70 calories a slice. If you're going by real cheese, that stuff is full of calories. Like, yeah, it's not processed, but if you're going by what you're giving your kids for a grilled cheese sandwich or anything like that, it's like, really, you know, peanut butter technically is bad for you. Should you grind up your own peanuts and not add the oil and everything? I mean, you've got kids, and I mean, parents nowadays are even like, oh, well, no, you can't feed, you know, your kids peanut butter and jelly. It's not healthy. It's like, how many of us grew up on peanut butter and jelly? Really? I mean, think about what you grew up on. All right. And the problem with weight issues that we have are not due to what we're putting in our mouths. It's how much. We are so horrible. And even I, you know, I get horrible with portion control. It's like, oh God, this is so good. I want to keep eating. Oh, well, I don't have enough for like seconds. So I'm just going to polish it off. You know, we all kind of sit in front of the TV, eat when we're probably not necessarily hungry. So if you're going to limit what, you know, basically, okay, well, fruits, vegetables, whole milk, I guess, or I don't even know, is milk bad for you?
Dairy,
I
mean, dairy, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And it's like, if you're pulling that, it's like that it's really regulated. It's not even a matter of where your tax dollars are going because they're receiving the same amount of benefits, whether this regulation is there or not. So really, if you have a problem and you're saying the my tax dollars excuse, it's not even affecting your tax dollars. You know, they're going to the same place. It's the same amount of people. And it is going to drive good people to be like, I need peanut butter and jelly to send my kids to school. I'm not going to, you know, and so they are going to make deals with their friends or whatever and be like, hey, can you get me, you know, some PBJ or whatever? And, you know, I'll buy your apples or whatever for you. I mean, you can't expect people to live like vegetarians. It's like, again, like who goes with the regulations on what is healthy and what's not? Because you, everything is moderation, guys. You can have a steak. It's good. It's your protein. It's your meat for the day. If you have four steaks, no, that's not good for you. Potatoes are good for you. If you have five in a serving and you know, not so good for you. So it's outrageous of the fact that they are telling you what you can and cannot eat. It's not an issue of, you know, well, it's our tax dollars, too bad, they can get off, because they're not saying you get special money for potato chips. They're not saying, you know, oh, well, you know, this is your food stamps for healthy foods and these are your food stamps for bad foods. Well, we're taking those food stamps away from bad foods. You know, it's not saving any money tax dollar wise. It is simply trying to control people and what they eat. And this is the only matter of how they can track, is because if you are on assistance, it only pays for so much. So it's like, all right, well, if you're that concerned, it's like, you know, these people, you need toilet paper. Okay. You need certain things to live.
I've worked at grocery stores. I've often wondered why you can buy all this stuff, but they don't give you toothpaste and toilet paper and soap and shampoo, right, and other things you kind of need.
Okay. Well, cut it a bit and, you know, say, okay, well, you don't get so much for food, but we're going to split it and say $50 a month or something of your benefits goes towards paper product needs, or, you know,
exactly.
You need soap for laundry. You need soap to wash things.
You need dish soap to do dishes. You need to wash your hair.
Yeah, that's more of an issue than what types of foods you're eating. Now, if that being said, if this was an issue of they were doing that and they were saying, okay, you guys are going to receive $50 or $100 less, or I don't know how, you know, they pay out. If it was an issue of, okay, you guys are receiving less for food, but, you know, the latter part of that will go towards, you know, paper towels, toothpaste and things, and people were in a hubbub about that, that is where I would be kind of on the side of like, hey, you guys do need this. And you know what I mean? It's like you're still receiving benefits.
Well, we need to wrap up. We went way long on this, so.
We did.
We'll be back with something else.
Another subject that's kind of controversial.
We'll be back with something else after Heart.
I love living in a city.
I love living in a city.
Cockroaches on the wall.
motherfuckers, you better strap yourselves in because I'm pouring myself a fresh Jack and Coke. I'm Hart Fisher, and welcome to Motherfucking Heart Attack with Josh Hadley. Guess what, Josh? Guess what movie I went and took my wife to see on her birthday?
Well, let's see. This weekend, Iron Man 3 just opened, which is getting pretty decent reviews. What the hell else opened this weekend?
Fuck what opened this weekend. We went and saw Evil Dead. We finally went out and saw the Evil Dead remake because I never, ever go to opening weekend because it's always filled with jackasses, and I'm not a big fan of waiting online. I waited about a month after the release of Evil Dead's remake and took my wife the other night to see this thing for her birthday, and she was all excited about it. And I actually, this really bugs me, I actually really got my hopes up for this film based on the positive online reviews I was reading. I was reading the reviews by the major horror magazines and the major horror websites. And guess what, folks at home? They fucking lied! They fucking lied! They lied! This fucking thing's a piece of shit! Oh, you fuckers! I want to fucking find every goddamn critic who gave this goddamn thing a major thumbs up. Everybody who went online and told me to go see it on Facebook, I want to poke my fucking finger in your eye because it was so shitty. Dude, you know what you don't want to hear on your wife's birthday? You don't want to hear that deep sigh. Anybody who's married or has a long-term chick in their life, the last thing you want to hear when you're trying to make your chick happy is that deep, discontented sigh that I heard in the middle of the fucking movie as we're in the movie theater. And I heard it from other couples, too. It was terrible, man. Whose fucking brilliant idea was it to replace the demons in this film with, I don't know, the possessed girl from The Exorcist? Because that's what we got, right down to the contact lenses she's wearing. And where did they get this midget from? Central casting midgets? Is this fucking lead girl like 4'5"? I don't know what's going on with these guys making these horror remakes, but right from the bat on this Evil Dead turd, they start shooting the film. It's exactly like the Fog remake, man. It's so beautiful to look at. Beautiful helicopter tracking shot. And the whole plot of the movie, there's not one moment where like you really feel like any of these people are actually long-term friends. There's not one person in the movie that has the same kind of charisma that Bruce Campbell has. Let's face it, guys. Bruce Campbell rocks. He's the fucking man. There was nobody in this film. They replaced Bruce Campbell with two fucking punk-ass dweeb motherfuckers. You know what was my favorite moment in here? This really goes with my feeling about the castration of the modern American male. Because the hero in the Evil Dead movies was about a man fighting demons in the woods and that had possessed his dead girlfriend. His dead girlfriend. Not his fucking sister. Not his buddies. They weren't there for a drug rehab fucking counseling session like it's on A&E and it's a special. It's fucking awful. Awful. The whole fucking movie sucked a goddamn bloody, disease-ridden, pus-spewing cock. I'm so mad about this fucking piece-of-shit movie. They took the Fog remake, and they replaced the killer leads in that with some bullshit Selma Blair crap, and here we have the same thing in Evil Dead. A bunch of nobody people that I've never heard of. None of these actors have I heard of. I haven't heard of any of these fucking people. I doubt I'm going to hear from any of them again. And they're all dumb. And you know what really bugged me? I'm going to tell you straight up. Josh, have you noticed in the movies lately that the male characters have all kind of turned into dumb pussies?
Well, I think that goes to that idiotic theory that there's a little bit of credibility to, but not really. That whole final girl kind of thing that the 80s slashers set up, that it's always a girl that gets the killer and the guys always act stupid. Now the writers think they're being clever by writing into that intentionally.
It's horrible, man. When you make the Thing remake, whatever nameless broad they put in the Kurt Russell role, guess what, folks? That bitch ain't no Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell fucking rocks in Escape from New York. He fucking rocks in the movies that he's in because he's awesome. You know, you fucking want to see what he's going to do. He's in control. He's a fucking real man. Instead, in the Thing remake, we get this whiny little chick. Oh, please don't do the wrong thing. Instead of the male perspective of, I'm telling you, don't do the wrong thing. It's a different feel, and they don't understand what they're doing. They're completely emasculating these films. They're destroying these films. And every male character in Evil Dead, when they're attacked, they lie on their back and they throw up their arm and they go, oh, no, don't hurt me. And it's all defensive wounds. And I noticed in Evil Dead, dude, they did it again and again and again. You got a one-arm fucking chick swinging a crowbar. One-arm chick. And there's a guy lying on his back. She's slowly walking to get him. Dude, roll forward. Take out the legs. Take this bitch out. Everybody spends their time sitting around going, I'm so scared, and being frozen and doing nothing heroic at all. There's no humor in this film, nothing at all. There's nothing about it that makes me go, man, I'm really glad they made this movie. Except, I will say this, they really meat-grindered these kids in the movie up. They threw in a lot of gore. The gore looked great, even though it was fucking dumb. Guys, if you're making a thing in a cabin in the woods and there's nobody around, let me tell you something about a cabin in the woods. They normally don't have two showers. They normally do not have two bathrooms. And this palatial mansion had a basement in it with fucking 10-foot ceilings and shit. It was ridiculous. It was fucking asinine. Where did the electricity come from, guys? Where did the hot water all of a sudden come from? Where did the running water come from? Your bridge is washed out, but you got running water? Fucking ridiculous, man. And I... Oh.
All right. Count to 10. Count to 10. Let's see.
10, 9. I'm just so fucking mad about that movie. Because you know what? I took my wife out to see it, and I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe we should see Iron Man 3. And when we came out, she's like, man, we should have seen Iron Man 3.
And see, I did kind of the same thing with Kill Bill Volume 2. My wife and I enjoyed Volume 1. So we went to Kill Bill Volume 2, and we walked out of that going, we should have gone to see The Punisher instead.
Yeah, dude. Quentin really dropped the ball on two. They got nuts. I don't really need to see the estranged mother and father having their conversation, talking. Dude, I don't watch Kill Bill 2. I don't. I like Kill Bill 1. It's fun. I watch it. I'll still pick it up and watch it, but I have not ever given Kill Bill 2 a second watch. I have no desire.
Modern remakes, really, they never get the point. I mean, every now and then you find a remake that does work, like Night of the Living Dead 1990. That worked, but that was also made by George Romero, the guy that made the original. I don't personally like the David Cronenberg Fly remake, but it does work for what it was supposed to do. Cronenberg understood what you had to do.
I don't even know where Sam Raimi's going to go with this second one. I mean, how much money did this turd make at the box office?
A lot. It made back its budget opening weekend, so it's a huge hit. They greenlit a sequel the day after it opened.
Mm-hmm.
So there is going to be another one.
I'll tell you, folks, I'm going to keep my money in my pocket, and maybe I might watch it on cable. Other than that, I was so disappointed in this Evil Dead remake. I mean, they really fucked it up. You know, when you make you got the first film is about a group of guys going to a cabin. They're going to go have fun. It was couples, and it was a bunch of couples, and they're going to go, and they're going to have fun, and they're going to have fun in the cabin in the woods. It's going to be great. Not this bullshit. Bunch of angry people that aren't happy with each other at all are going to bitch at each other and bitch from the beginning fucking frame, and they're going to complain, and they're going to fucking fight. There's no fun. Where are you going to go? None of these characters really like each other. And the guy who's supposed to bring his girlfriend along, there's never any chemistry between him and his, quote, girlfriend. She doesn't even have any lines. She's just another body in there to die. And all right, spoiler alert, guys. Spoiler alert. The Necronomicon in this movie is so gay. It is so terrible. It looks like a comic book. It looks like a comic book drew it. Let me tell you guys at home something about demonology. When you're dealing with demonists and you're dealing with Satanists and you're dealing with actual black magic and you have drawings of these things, they're not afraid of penises. Because when you look at old drawings of demonology and you look at woodcuts and you look at Japanese drawings of devils, they got cocks. They got cocks. And they look like woodcuts and it looks like actual printmaking. This shit looked like a comic book. It did. The new Necronomicon, it won't burn, man. It won't burn. Looks like a fucking comic book, and the drawings are terrible. It's all the reveal of how they find it, and it's all bad. The one crazy, drugged-out bitch is the only one who notices the 15 dead animal corpses are smelling bad in the basement, and none of the other people don't notice that.
Isn't the Necronomicon supposed to be written in human blood and bound in human flesh?
Yeah.
So how does that look like a comic book? I mean, is it just that blatantly
bad? It's
because
when they open it, and they have a lot more illustrations in the book this time. They redrew the book. They reinvented the Necronomicon book, the actual the contents and the guts still has the human skin bound exterior, but once they open it, it's all this horseshit, dude. It's terrible. The drawings are terrible. It looks like, what, did you guys hire an image artist to draw this fucking crap?
They may
have.
It's
insulting crap.
What is the company that has the Army of Darkness comic book license? They probably got someone from that to do it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This thing was just such a fuck. It's just a fucking dead bullet to the fucking eyes, man. And as the king of horror, you know, the guy who runs American Horrors, I'm supposed to go out and watch all this stuff. And I made the mistake. I got excited about this fucking remake. And I got to remember that these fucking remakes are all about cash-ins. And people go, oh, well, they're creatively bankrupt in Hollywood. Well, I was clued into the secret, guys. It's not that they're creatively bankrupt. That's got nothing to do with it. All the licenses are cleared. The licensing's all cleared. The brand name is implanted in the horror audience. They know there's an audience waiting for it. There's a bunch of kids out there who haven't seen the original but have heard about it. It's all about the cash-in. That's what Sam Raimi's all about now. That dude has changed. He's all about the cash-in. What good horror movie has he made since he made the Spider-Man films? And don't you fucking say that last hunk of shit that he did that was an Evil Dead wannabe thing with the voodoo and bullshit, that that was a good horror movie, because it sucked.
It wasn't.
It was
horrible. First of all, it wasn't.
No.
Second of all, terrible. I wouldn't even agree with you on the Spider-Man movies. I fucking hated those.
I've only seen the first Spider-Man film. I haven't seen the second or third. You know, they just, I have no interest in it. They're bland, they're boring. I love the comic books. I loved Spider-Man when I was a kid growing up, but do you really got to tell me the same fucking story I've seen in five other movies and I read in, I can't tell you how many comic books? Do I really need to hear his origin story again? Do I really need to hear it? No, I don't.
It's the same thing that's going on with the new Superman movie, except this time, while they're retelling the origin, they're fucking it up. Such as,
oh yeah,
it's been leaked out that he does not get his powers in the new Superman movie from our yellow sun. He was a Superman, a genetic Superman on Krypton. That's why they sent him away, because he was the future of their race.
Oh, give me a break.
It's like, so he was special on Krypton too?
You know, this is really funny. This is just like all the assholes of Coca-Cola who fucked up the original Coca-Cola. You know, original Coke. Remember that? When it actually had sugar in it and not high fructose death syrup that gives everybody weird allergies and causes people to get really obese. Remember those days? Why did they fuck with the Coca-Cola formula? Oh, I don't know. More money.
Because they could.
No, it's about money, man. Because it's cheaper to get the high fructose corn syrup. That's what it's about.
Well, there is a conspiracy theory that New Coke was always designed to fail because Coca-Cola was losing ground to Pepsi. So they introduce New Coke, and then they bring back Coca-Cola as Coca-Cola Classic, that it rejuvenated the brand, and their sales have never slumped back to where they were pre-New Coke. So there's a theory that New Coke was always meant to fail.
Nah, it's totally wrong, dude. The entire formula changed because they had to rejigger it for high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup is so unbelievably cheap to produce. You think sugar's cheap, and sugar's goddamn cheap. But no, not when you're a publicly traded corporation that sells its shares online, and you, like a virus, you can never satisfy Wall Street. You can never, ever satisfy Wall Street. So it's always going to be a grind to get another dollar of profit out of something. And on the Coca-Cola thing, it was all about high fructose corn syrup, because Coke didn't just do it on their own. The entire soda pop industry changed to high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying that there's that theory about New Coke.
Nah, not buying that one, guys. It's dollars and cents. Dollars and cents. It's about the high fructose corn syrup. And when people responded so poorly to it and were so upset, they tried to go back to the original formula with the corn syrup. But it doesn't work. You can only get close to it when you get like a throwback Pepsi, or you can get Coca-Cola bottled in Mexico. But Coca-Cola worked to get these sugar-made Cokes banned from being in the country. They used the whole lead-in-your-bottle scare, but that'll be another subject for another heart attack. In the meantime, folks, if you want to see a really good horror movie, if you want to see something cool, watch American Horrors. It's my horror channel. It's the greatest horror channel in the world. It's open for 24 hours, 7 days a week, all business, all the time, and it's free, guys. It's free. Go to www.filmon.com. Look up American Horrors. Watch for free. Keep your smile. Try not to get too pissed off like me. Otherwise, happy Mother's Day out there, folks.
So, Jillian, we ended up going a lot longer on that last segment than I actually thought we were gonna. So we're gonna table what we were gonna talk about this week in this segment for next week, because we got a shortened segment here after Hart and I went on. So I just want to say, with our 100th episode coming up, before we get to that, I want to say,
thanks for listening.
No, I'm talking That's to you right say. Now. I'm not talking.
Oh, okay.
To
I thought you were talking to the listeners.
I'm
well,
talking
I'm
to Jillian.
Talk to listeners anyway, and say thanks for listening.
I'm talking to Jillian.
Even if we made you really mad on this episode.
I'm talking to you. I want to thank you for being part of this show. Aww. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for your opinions. I want to thank you for how open you've been. And I want to thank you for being part of What the Fuck.
Well, I want to thank you for having me. And I'm sorry I've had so much stuff come up in the past here where I've had
How dare you have a life outside this show? How dare you?
I know. Very busy. Busy, busy.
So we're just going to have it a little abbreviated thing here. With our 100th episode coming up, we're going to be hopefully talking about the show. And I know I'm only giving you guys about 2 weeks of notice, but I would like to get your thoughts. I would like to get, if you guys have some MP3s or anything like that you want to send and record about the show, try to keep it under a minute. We may play them. We may not, so don't feel bad. I don't know how the timing on that show is going to go out. We'd like to hear what you think of the show. And don't just kiss ass. If you've got issues with the show, you say it. I can't stand when I see this on other shows when they, oh, we want our fan comments, and they only play the dick-sucking comments. No, because...
Yeah, no, if you guys got, like, issues with us, we'll still play it and comment on it. We'll be relatively nice about it.
Relatively. Keep that word in mind.
I know there's nothing bad about me, so it'll just be me consoling Josh and hoping he won't be all right.
You've been called Spunky.
I have. I have S-P-U-N-K Spunk.
So, Jillian, I just want to publicly thank you for being part of the show.
Oh, thank you publicly for having me as part of the show.
And where can people find you if they choose to contact you as part of the show?
I am on Facebook and Twitter. My tagline is @TheMistressJ. And I occasionally pop up on thecinemasnob.com. And any hate mail you have for me, you can send to Josh's email address. Thank you. Honestly, I don't even know. For all I know, you say I get, you know, this positive mail, and it's probably bullshit. And it's like all this evil, like,
you do.
Bitch must die mail.
I've never gotten a bitch must die on
me. No, honestly, I don't even really check my email, which is why I don't give it out, because I just use it for business purposes.
Trust me, she doesn't.
I don't. Like, somebody would be like, did you get that email? I was like, no, you have to Facebook me and let me know that I got an email, because I
which really is just redundant.
It's all handled on Facebook. Well, then send it on Facebook.
All right. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. You can check out my website, 1201beyond.com, or I'm part of geekjuicemedia.com, a site that I am very happy to be part of as well. So, Jillian, is there anything you want to say before we bow out for the night?
Well, I know you said thank you for sharing my opinions, and I'm sure listeners out there may not share that opinion. I have a feeling they listen for you and they're like, oh god, that bitch is going off again. I can't stand her.